Again, we're doing a lesson on prayer, the path of the prayer of faith. Path of the prayer of faith, but it'll be a little different today in the sense that it's Christmas and we're going to talk a little bit about, we'll still be talking about the same idea, but about Jesus. And I put up here this idea of faith's founder and finisher. He really is the one we ought to model our faith after. This statement, model your faith after the master. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 here for a minute. Model your faith after the master. What does that mean? Well, we talked about a lot of people in the Bible. Hebrews 11 talks about that. All the great heroes of faith, we call them. People who had great faith, people who walked by faith, people like Abraham, he comes to mind. People who knew how to have faith in God, they walked with him, they figured it out because he helped them figure it out. But now we come to the one who is really our example. In Hebrews chapter 12, he talks about the witnesses. Therefore, since we have been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he said, let us throw off everything that hinders. We need to run this race. And he talks about those in all through chapter 11, the great heroes of faith, people who had run the race, who had finished their course. And now he says to us in verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Fix our eyes on who? Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. We fix our eyes in the sense of concentrate on him, the author and finisher of our faith, or of faith itself. He is the one who is showing us how to pray in faith, how to walk by faith, how to live by faith, because he did it. Now, sometimes people think, well, Jesus just came to this earth, and because he was the Son of God, he just did this and did that, like he had a magic wand or something, or like he was Superman. He went out in the booth and took his outer clothes off. Now he had this Superman suit on. That's not how it worked. Being the Son of God did not mean he had a special anointing to get around the human experience. In fact, in other places in Hebrews, he talks about the fact that he suffered just like we suffer, that he's a great high priest, but he's the kind of high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities because he was made perfect by suffering. So the very fact that Jesus understands what you go through, what we go through, he understands the trials and the problems and the difficulties, tells you that he didn't get a pass through life, but he had to go through the same things we go through. And one thing he had to go through was he had to do what he did by faith. He didn't just do it. He had to do it by faith. He says here, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one who started it, and he's the one who finished it. In fact, I've got the next slide. We'll get to that in a minute, but there are some other words there in the author and perfecter of our faith. Some versions have the idea that he's not just the author and perfecter of our faith. Some versions have he's the chief leader of our faith. He's the beginner of our faith. He's the founder of our faith. He's the one we look to. If you want to know what faith is, look at him. And you say, maybe we don't think that way too often. We think Jesus just had an easy ride. We know he suffered at the cross, and we know he suffered for our sins. But when he did miracles, some people have the idea he just walked up and just decided, I think I'll just heal this guy. I'll heal this whole village. I'll do this. It had to be by faith. I'll show you that as we get into this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Next slide has, let's talk about his birth story for a minute since we're in Christmas season. The birth story in John's gospel, we looked some at the communion about the other Luke and Matthew both talk about the birth of Jesus, but John is a little different. John talks about the bigger issue. Now, it's not that it's bigger than the birth, it's the meaning of the birth. In the beginning, do you have your Bible open? John chapter 1. And we're going to be in chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. May not hit all the verses, but chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, some people get confused. Does that mean the Bible? No, the Bible wasn't. The Bible is not God, is it? whoever this is, he said, this is God. In the beginning, when everything was created, before there was anything, there was still the Word. Before there was anything, there was this person called the Word. Before there was anything created, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He's a He. It's not the Bible. Now, the Bible is God's Word, right? I'm not minimizing that. But this is a He. And it says that He was with God, and that He was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, it says in verse 3. If you skip down to verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the only begotten who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John was an apostle. John was Jesus, one of Jesus' best friends on earth. And he said, we've seen it. We have seen it. We saw Him. We saw a man who was God. We saw a man with flesh and bone and blood just like we have. We saw a man who ate fish, a man who walked with us up and down the mountains. We saw a man who would sweat, a man who eventually bled, a man who cried tears. He cried at Lazarus' funeral, didn't he? A real man. One of the stumbling blocks, I think, to people in that day, maybe not so much this day, in that day would have been, I'm looking at a guy, and he looks like a Jewish rabbi to me, and that's all I see. I just see a man. He's just a man like us. And he's just too ordinary. He can't be the Son of God. He's too ordinary. We forget that Jesus had to be like us. Paul talks about that, how He emptied Himself and became a man. In Philippians, He emptied Himself and became a man, and He didn't operate as God. He operated as a man of faith who was God in flesh. So He's here. He was here operating that way, and John said, we saw Him. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe all that happened. My first question may be impertinent, I guess. My first question is, were you there? You say it didn't happen, but were you there? Well, no, I couldn't be there. That was 2,000 years ago. Well, ask the people who were there. It's not just one or two people. Hundreds of people saw Him after the resurrection. Look at this. John says, we've seen His glory. We know He wasn't just a man. Well, did they see His glory on the Mountain of Transfiguration where He became, His clothing was as so white, it says, the old version says so white, no laundry could get it that white, you know, and his eyes glowed. He was in that land between heaven and earth, and Moses came and Elijah came, and John was there when all that happened. He said, we've seen this. He's not just a man. He is a man, but he's not just a man. We've seen His glory. And he said, we've seen His glory, the glory of the only begotten. We are all sons and daughters of God. We're children of God. Those who are born again are children of God, right? If you even say that phrase, born again, what does that mean? Well, what are you born into? A new family. Born again. We're born again. But this says he's not born the way we are. He's the only one who came by natural. He is God in flesh, in other words. The only begotten Son. He's the only one like Him, and we are adopted kids, but He's the only one that's natural because He's God in flesh. We saw the glory of the one and only, the only begotten who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So you start out with this. God became flesh. He's called the Son of God. So here's the Son of God growing up as a child. He gets to be 12 years old. He goes into the temple, and, you know, they lost him for 3 days because he was so fascinated with the teachers of the law, and he was there with them learning and teaching and growing. And so as he grows, he gets to that period of where he's 30 years old. No, in Jewish culture, no man was considered an adult till he was 30. 30 years old. And now he's able to teach. He's baptized, and he's able to start his teaching ministry and miracle ministry, healing ministry. But he's doing it as a man. So if he's doing it as a man, doesn't he need faith? As we go through this, we're going to stay pretty much in the Gospel of John. You'll see this unfold, that he walks by faith. His faith relationship, look at John chapter 5. John 5, verse 16. We're just going to hit some high spots here. John 5, verse 16. Begins at verse 16. John has one of the best explanations of this life of faith of Jesus than the other Gospels do. It's different. It's more in-depth, I think, because John is sometimes called the Gospel of Belief, because the word believe is used a lot in the Gospel of John, and the word faith is used in some of the others, but John uses the word belief a lot. Chapter 5 and verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Does God still heal people on the Sabbath? Yeah. That's God's work. He told them to rest on the Sabbath, but God doesn't need to rest, does he? Verse 18, "For this reason the Jews tried all the harder to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." That's why they hated him. Some people say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, this says he did. Why would they be so upset? Why would they want to kill him if he was not calling himself the Son of God? He gave them this answer, verse 19. "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself." Huh? I thought Jesus could do anything. He said, "I can do nothing by myself." He can only do what he sees his Father doing. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. He's walking by faith, isn't he? We think we can get along without faith, but Jesus didn't. He said, that's how I walk. Look at that again. The Son can do nothing by himself. That's a red letter in my Bible. He could only do what he sees his Father doing. So he had to watch his Father, and whatever his Father was doing, he said, okay, I'll do that. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. It's always paired with the Father, isn't it? The Father does, I do. The Father does, I do. The Father does, I do. For just as the Father raises the dead, verse 21, and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Verse 24, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." He goes into that discussion. Verse 27, "He, the Father, has given him, the Son, authority to judge because he's the Son of Man." Now he's switched to the Son of Man. He used that title about himself more often than not. Son of Man, what does he mean? I have authority. What kind of authority does he have? Adam had authority over the human race and lost it. He was the first human. Jesus came along and got it back. Oh, that's good news. This old sin, cursed, broken world came about by Adam because he messed up and he gave Satan control over this earth. And now Jesus comes along and he says, "I'm the last Adam." The Bible calls him the last Adam. And here he's talking about that. I have authority. Look at this. God has given me authority to judge because given the Son authority to judge because he's the Son of Man. "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing." He just said it again. Why did Jesus say, "By myself, I can do nothing"? I have to have faith in my Father. Why was Jesus always looking for faith? You remember the reading gospel stories, the gospel accounts where sometimes he would say, "You have little faith," or "Why do you have no faith?" Or, "You have a great faith. I've not seen faith like this in all of Israel," he said to the centurion, about the centurion. Why is he always looking for faith? Why does he say, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? "Will I see anybody that's got any faith?" he says. That's a shocker, isn't it? Jesus said, "When I come back, is anybody going to have any? By then, will anybody have any faith?" Oh, he knew, he said it twice in this short reading, I can't do anything without my Father. What does that mean? Faith. I have to have faith in Him. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. Oh, we got to get that straight. Why am I on this planet? What am I supposed to do while I'm on this planet? God comes first. I must do what pleases Him. If I do that, I'm walking by the same kind of faith Jesus had. Maybe not to that degree, but it's the same kind of faith, isn't it? Then I'm walking to please my Father, and I can't do anything without Him. By myself, I can do nothing. That's chapter 5. Look at chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, all the people, in other words. John 6, 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. What a faith statement. He said, I'm going to raise the human race up. Wow, that's... We can't even make a decision without saying, well, if the Lord wills, or are you going to be there? Well, I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't know if I can be there or not. What did Jesus say? There's something I'm going to do. What are you going to do, Jesus? I'm working with my Father. I can't do anything without Him, but He's given me authority over the human race, and I'm going to raise them up. Now think about it. If you'd been standing in that crowd when He said that, you might have walked away and said, this man's out. He lost his mind. He thinks he's the Son of God. He thinks he's going to raise up the human race. Where's our faith? He said, listen to his words. He believes in his Father. He's intimately known by his Father, and he knows his Father intimately. They have this intimate relationship, and he knows the Father's will, and he speaks it. He just lets it out there. I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it, is sort of the impression you get from this. That was verse, 38? Verse 39, this is the will of Him who sent me. I shall lose none of all He has given me. Talking about people again. But raise them up at the last day, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. Ooh, that's bold. That's bold. That's not after the resurrection. That's before. And He's telling these people, I'm your answer, folks. My Father says He's going to do this, or He's going to let me do it too. Wow. Does that take faith? Does it take faith to talk like that? Where's our confidence? Where's our confidence? Where's our faith? Where's our, I don't know, it's just like, I'm trying to learn that myself. Where's our faith when we say things? Well, it might work and it might not. Or, we pray for something, we know it's God's will, and then we're our prayer lives are weak, and they are timid, and we just don't pray bold prayers because we've been disappointed before. We're afraid if I pray a bold prayer, God won't answer it, and then I'll look like an idiot, Jesus had no fear of that, did he? So he was the Son of God. Yeah, but how did he have to be the Son of God? By faith in his Father, because he said, I can't do anything. Can you imagine being the Son of God on earth, walking around in a body, and knowing I can't do anything? I can't do anything by myself. I have to have my Father's help. I have to trust Him. I have to walk with Him. That's chapter 6, isn't it? Look at chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 16. Are you getting the impression that Jesus had to walk by faith? Are you? Are you getting the impression He had to walk by faith? John chapter 7. And these should be on the screen up there, verse 16. Beginning of verse 16. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from Him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. What did he say about his teaching? Not mine. It's not mine. What do you mean by that? He's saying, sometimes preachers will say that, be reading the Bible and say, I didn't make this up. That's what Jesus is saying, right? He's saying, I didn't make this up. It's not mine. I knew a preacher one time years ago when Judy and I first dating and married at White's Ferry Road. Harvest Arling used to say, he preached some hard stuff. I mean, he was a hard gospel preacher. And he preached some stuff, and then he'd stop and say, hey, I didn't write the Bible. In other words, don't blame me. I didn't write the Bible. Didn't Jesus say that? My teaching is not mine. What I'm telling you is not my own stuff that I made up. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Just decide to do God's will and you'll find out. You have to walk in the light you have before you get any more light. God's not going to dump stuff on you that a person who's been a Christian 55 years and walked with God all over, God's not going to dump stuff on you right now that you can't handle. He says here, if anyone chooses to do God's, you got to start with that. Part of the issue of faith is we're not doing what God tells us to do, so our faith just kind of sits there and it kind of withers away. If you're not willing to do God's will, Jesus said, you won't understand any of this. You just won't understand any of this. You'll find out if you do God's will, if you choose to do God's will. He'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. Why is Jesus a man of truth? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why is he a man of truth? Because I'm doing the will of the one that sent me. I am a faithful messenger. I am the one sent, and I'm giving you exactly what he told me to say. He said, he who speaks on his own does it to gain honor for himself, verse 18. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There's nothing false about him. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Just walk around in that truth, and you just say, instead of saying, oh, ain't it terrible? Ain't it terrible? One guy said sometimes, don't always be joining the ain't it awful club. Ain't it awful, ain't it awful, ain't everything terrible, everything is bad, everything, this disease is going to kill us all. I like what one politician from Louisiana said. He said, look, this virus is not going to kill us all, and we're not going to all be out in the desert eating cat food. I thought that's a pretty good way to put it. Ain't it awful? Everything just doesn't go my way. Nothing ever goes my way. It always goes the other way, and we just go on and on and on. Jesus said, you need to be a man of truth, a woman of truth, and just say what God says. If you say what God says, you're speaking faith. If you say what you think, you're speaking doubt. Because to be very honest, if God does not help us, if God does not help you, you might not live through the end of this church service, get up out of that pew. He has to help us, doesn't he? That's faith. So if you know God's will, do you know it's God's will for people to be saved? Is it God's will for people to be saved? Why do you know that? Word says so. Okay, so we're praying for this notebook full of names. Do you believe it's going to happen? Uh-huh. So we're speaking truth. We're not speaking theory or what I think might happen. Jesus said, the issue of faith, he walked by faith with his Father, and he said, I just do what the Father tells me to do. I say what the Father tells me to say, and I'm a man of truth because of that, and it's going to work out. Notice John chapter 8, verse 28. John 8:28. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Now, the rest of that's added. Did you notice that? It's either in brackets or italics or something. What did he literally say? When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. And that I am is the Old Testament name for God, isn't it? Is he claiming to be God? Yes, he's claiming to be God's son, isn't he? And that I do nothing on my own. He said that three times now, hasn't he? I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Boy, if every Christian would do that, we'd be home free, wouldn't we? If we just stop all our opinions and our complaining and our problem talking, and how it's not going to work out, it might not work out. It might work out, but it might not work out. And just say what the Father taught us, we'd be walking in faith. The one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. How do you get other people to have faith? You have to walk by faith too. Are you disturbed some of your family's not walking by faith? You have to walk by faith first. Jesus did. He said they came to him because he was walking by faith. That was John chapter 8. John chapter 11. John 11 is a story, is the account of the raising of a man named Lazarus. A man named Lazarus, chapter 11, verse 1. John 11, verse 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord, wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus. What did they say to Jesus? Lord, the one you love is sick. He loved these people. Mary and Martha were sisters. Their brother Lazarus, he often stayed in their home, coming back and forth from Galilee down to Judea, Jerusalem. He loved these people. And they say, well, he's off on a preaching tour. And so they say, they send word to Jesus about Lazarus. What do they say? Pretty simple message. The one you love is sick. Well, it came from Mary and Martha, and they know he knows it's Lazarus that's sick. You would think he would say, boys, let's go. We have to go back because these people have been so good to us. They have put us up in their home. They fed us on our preaching tours, and we love these folks. They didn't live far outside Jerusalem, but Jesus is over in the wilderness somewhere close to where John was baptizing, and he's reaching people. And so they say that he's sick, and so instead of saying, look at verse 4, instead of saying that we better hurry over there, this sickness will not end in death. He didn't say he won't die. What did he say? Won't end in death. Now, people misunderstand. He didn't say he won't die. He said this episode's not going to end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so God's Son may be glorified through it. Notice that. Even bad news can be an opportunity for you to speak faith. If you're staying close to God, was he close to his father? He immediately knew his father told him this, it seems. I mean, that's the way he said he operated. Just listen to the father, and whatever the father said, that's what he said. And so the father said through Jesus, it's not going to end in death. It's not going to end in death. It's going to glorify the father and going to glorify the son. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. In fact, it's another couple of days to get over there. So he's 4 days away from getting back there. I mean, he's waited 2 more days. Then he said, after 2 days, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, it's a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, yet you're going back there. What an amazing statement in verse 9. Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It's when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. So what's that got to do with anything? Oh, that's the point of the whole thing. See, he's saying, I waited 2 more days to get some light. I'm not going to go stumbling over there in the dark not knowing what I'm doing. He's walking by faith, isn't he? He's walking by the light of God. And he said, it's like then walking around out here. If you don't have light, you might stumble and fall. But you wait till daylight. Of course, they didn't have artificial light like we do. Wait till daylight, you can see. He's waited till he got an assignment from his father. That's faith. That's how we ought to operate. Don't rush into things out of panic when you get bad news. Don't just rush into something. Just take a step back and say, Father, what do you think about this? I'm going to wait around, Lord. I'm going to wait around, Father, to see And I'm going to pray about this a little. I'm not talking about somebody bleeding to death in front of you. I'm talking about some kind of a crisis. People make up all kinds of crises for you to have to respond to, don't they? I heard a thing the other day where they did a study on cell phone rings, when your phone rings. And they tried to find the one that's the least stressful, because they said when your phone rings, your blood pressure jumps up 20% or 20 points. And they said, okay, which one of these rings would be better? And they tested them all. Guess what? They all jump you up 20 points. Said the only one that doesn't do that is when you put it on silent. Some people lurch from crisis to crisis to crisis and wonder why life's a mess. Jesus waited 2 more days. Then he said, let's go back to Judea. They said, well, you know, they tried to kill you last time. He said, I'm walking by light now. I'm not going to just stumble into this thing. How many people have walked hurriedly by the dark and took the wrong job? Then they have to get out of it somehow, married the wrong person, found themselves in the wrong church. Don't get in a hurry with God, because He has a reason for putting you on pause. Sometimes He pauses you and stops you because He's got a reason. There's something going on you might not know. So Jesus backed off. Now He says, let's go. Verse 11, after He said this, He went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to... Listen to the faith in that statement. He's fallen asleep because he's dead. That's the Bible phrase sometimes, most of the time used for dead, a lot of times anyway. Fallen asleep. He's fallen asleep, and I'm going to go over there and pray for him. Is that what it says? No. What does he say? I am going there to wake him up. Disciples didn't understand. They said, well, if he's asleep, he'll get better. Right? Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. So that you may believe, let us go to him. Thomas still didn't understand. What did he say? Let's all go so we may die with him. He missed that whole conversation, didn't he? Thomas did, because he's thinking, somebody just said, well, you know, he tried to kill you last time, and Jesus said, no, I got to walk by light, not dark, and when I get the light, we'll go. And he's kind of saying that, and boy, it went over Thomas's head, didn't it? All he heard was, well, I guess we're all going to die. Let's just go and die with him. You remember Thomas? He's the one that didn't believe in the resurrection until Jesus finally let him touches on the holes in his body. The rest of the story I don't have time to tell, but if you look at verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, but I know even now God will give you whatever you ask. She said, pray for him to come back to life. Well, that's scary. And then she said, pray for him to come back to life. What did Jesus say? Your brother, is this a faith statement? Your brother will rise again. How could he say that? Do you remember what he said? Whatever my father says. That's why he waited 2 days, and that's why he's walking by light now. He's listening to his father. He has the Holy Spirit. Did Jesus have the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove? The Holy Spirit will tell you things. He'll talk to you. So he's talking to Jesus. Father says, okay, time to go. Yes, sir. He goes. He gets there, and they start saying, well, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, but if you pray, he'll come back. And Jesus said, oh, he's going to rise again. And Martha says, well, I know he'll rise again at the last resurrection, the last day. And Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection. What a faith statement. I am the resurrection. How could he say that? Because he's been listening. He's been listening to his Father. So I don't know how to hear from God. Well, I'll tell you where to start. Read your Bible and ask. If you read your Bible, you begin to know the voice. And if you ask, the Holy Spirit will tell you things. That's how he operated. And that's how we're supposed to operate as children of God, right? He is the beginner, the author of our faith, the foundation of our faith, and he's the perfecter of it. You got to look to him, fix your eyes on him. How did he do it? However he did it, that's how I want to do it. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. That's verse 25. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. Then he goes to the tomb. Take away the stone, verse 39. Martha said, the sister of the dead man said, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, faith, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and noticed this prayer. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He knew his Father had heard him. I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. That's faith, isn't it? You always hear me. But I said this, he's praying out loud for the people that are standing there, for the benefit of those standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And what happened? He didn't say, Lazarus, come out, and then say, boy, I hope this works. I sure hope this works, because I'm going to be so embarrassed. I'm up here spouting off about Lazarus coming back. And he didn't talk that way, did he? He was confident because he had heard from his Father, and his Father said, go now. Yes, sir. He'd been waiting 2 days. Go now. And he got over there, and everything he said was faith. He's going to come back. Everybody's going to come back. And I'm going to go raise him up. I am the resurrection. You know, if you want to see a resurrection, he said, I'm a walking version. And I can raise him from the dead. I will raise him from the dead. Take off his grave clothes and let him go, they said. Faith in raising Lazarus from the dead. We don't have time for the rest, but I'll give you these verses. John chapter 14, verse 9, very important. John chapter 14, verse 9. Starts at verse 9, goes through verse 14. And in this section, he says again, the words I say to you are not just my own. It's a Father living in me who's doing his work. That's how and why he walked by faith. Now, as you look at the screen there, I put he's the founder, the author. These are other words used in other versions of that passage. He's the founder, the author, the chief leader, and the perfecter of our faith. Even the perfecter of our faith, so we follow him. You want to have a better prayer life? You want to be able to pray in faith? You know how to do it now. You know how Jesus did it. And we're committed to doing that too. On the last slide, I put follow his faith. The eternal destiny of several lost people depends on your prayer life. So we're going to pray right now as I close it out. For these names in here that we have collected of individuals that are not Christians or have been and have wandered away. So we're going to pray for these. Father, we pray in faith now because, first of all, we know it is not your will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to eternal life, to come to repentance. We know from your word that you want us to pray this way. We expect, Father, when we ask, that because of Jesus and because of his love and his compassion and because of the sacrifice he made and because of the resurrection, we expect these individuals in this book that we've been collecting, that we've been praying over, we expect answers. We already had some. We expect more. We expect answers, Father, that will be so astounding that people around will talk about it and say, I don't know how that happened, but it did. We know how it happens. We know it happens because you told us in your word we should make disciples of all nations. You told us in your word that we should seek the lost, because that's what Jesus did. He came to seek and save the lost. And we thank you, Father, that you're hearing and answering our prayers. More than that, Father, we ask that you strengthen us with power through your Spirit in the inner man, the inner being, so that Christ can live in us, that he lives in us by faith. The reason we pray that right now, Father, is that when he dwells in us by faith, we know we can walk by his faith. We can walk by that kind of faith we just read about. We thank you that we're able to do that, Father. We want to do that not just for our own personal benefit, but so other people can come to Christ, other people can be saved, other individuals can reclaim their spiritual life again. We ask you these things, knowing that you are the one who grants these answers, Father. by faith. We pray in faith, Father, because we're praying based on what we read in your word. I ask you, Father, that as we have studied these things, that the word that's been preached will bear fruit. You said it would. You said that your word never returns empty. So we're grateful for that, Father. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.